Attention, film school students, here are a few announcements. Item one. Oh boy. Item two. Eggshell City here. Item three. Unless you got cameras, then we're good. Oh, and item four. If anyone can find the film school janitors on their lunch break, tell them it's time to review Civil War. It's by A24. What is it good for?
Here's a little story about a trio of janitors. Might have heard they worked at a well-known film school. They picked up a few things other than trash. They might hate your movie or if drunk think it's cool. Every now and then they get together for a lunch break. Trash talks a movie or TV or streaming. Rodney and Jason and Sean, they'll clean house. If you listen close, you can hear kids screaming.
All right, so, sorry, it's all right. It's better than a belch, I'd say. So we are going to be talking about...
Did he fart?
No, cough. It was a cough. So we're going to be talking about Alex Garland's movie Civil War. Randall, you want to take the basic premise of this? Or Rodney, Rodney did not watch it.
I'll tell you, there is no fucking premise.
Do you want to have your questions about it? Or how do you want to go? What do you think?
Well, no, so I'm pretty much Civil War, when you see the trailer and everything, it's pretty much trying to show the future where America's heading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much just showing, you know, just two different sides fighting against each other to rule America. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, the previews definitely made me feel uneasy because Alex Garland, you know other movies he did, right?
Nope.
He is the guy who made, we'll pull up the list here.
Ex Machina. I know he did that.
Yep.
We went
28 right. Days.
Yeah. 28 Days. I don't like none of his movies.
He wrote those. I mean, but Sunshine.
Well, he did 28 never, Days Later?
He wrote the screenplays for 28 Days Later and Sunshine. Never Let Me Go. He wrote the screenplay for Dread. But the ones that he directed are, where's the list here? Yeah, directed was Ex Machina, nope. Annihilation, Men, which we did.
Yeah.
I guess it's really, I'm surprised there's only a couple that he's directed. I felt like he always directed more. And they did the TV show Devs. But, yeah, he wrote 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, Sunshine, Never Let Me Go.
A24's biggest budget.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, this movie was what, I think, $50 million, which they've said they wanted to get like be a big player, which I'm like, hey, you're kind of riding your little area. I'm like,
no, they need to stay in there.
A24 has.
I'd say stay in your lane. That sounds so horrible, but they need to stay in your lane.
When you were in the theaters, did they show you a lot of A24 previews?
It was like a lot of art house.
They previews. Do that. Every A24 movie does that when you go see.
Yeah, I was sitting there. I was like, there's like four, like the preview, normally previews are 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like our previews when we watch this movie was like 25.
Do you remember which ones they showed you?
I can't remember the names of them.
Oh, do you see? I'm used to AMC Theater. It's legit a 30. Like, when the movie time starts, if it says 1 o'clock, I know I got time to get there, sit down, because it's legit like 30 minutes of stuff every time.
It was ridiculous this time. I was sitting there and I was like, okay, they're done. And they were never done. It was like one movie, then another movie, and I'm like...
Yeah, they're not showing like Deadpool in front of these kinds
of movies.
No,
they're not. They're not.
Yeah, the ones I saw, like it was a couple foreign films.
Yep.
The one that I liked, I'm most interested in, is one called In a Violent Nature. Did you see that trailer?
Was that the one where the young black guy, and it was a different like colors? Like there was like a lot of pink and like people.
Oh, changing. That's the TV, the glow of the TV or something like that.
Okay,
that
was I was going to say, I didn't hear black guy and colors in the same sentence.
No.
Usually one person says one or the other.
No, I mean, I saw that. I'm trying to walk past that. Randall's just staring him down. I don't want to interrupt the stare. But the one I saw in a violent manner is the one that looks like it's like behind Jason. It's not, it's Jason, but it's not Jason. Like it starts off with.
Nope, I didn't see that.
Oh, it looks sweet. It's like almost like a first person shooter. But the whole movie's behind him walking around like this undead man going and just killing things.
Yeah,
and
we didn't see that.
I think he would remember that.
I would remember that.
But that was sweet. But yeah, anyway, the original trailer for the Civil War made me uncomfortable because I'm like, I don't know.
What's his name's fucking amazing. I don't know his name. Jesse Pinkman. He played in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Plemons.
Jesse Plemons? Is it Jesse?
Yeah, I think that's who you're talking about.
God, what is it? Jesse Plemons. Yep.
Dude, he... Three or four roles I've seen him in, and you just get chills down your back watching this motherfucker. He seems like
I will give him that. In this movie, yes,
he stole it.
You said he had a smaller part than most people.
He had a very small part.
He just something about him. Like I watched him do interviews. I wanted to see if he was like crazy in real life.
You know who he's married to?
Yeah, some blonde actress. Yeah, Kirsten Dunst.
He's married to Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know that.
But I watched him do interviews, and he's like, he is very like...
methodical?
No, like straight, like...
Oh.
Like, there's no like highs and lows. It's very like...
Yeah, but...
Like when he talks to you when he's the villain. Like, he kind of sort of...
What things can you think of that you remember him being a villain in?
Like, I don't think he pets animals unless he thinks another human's looking at him, and he has to look like a human.
Yeah, what else? Like, yeah, besides Breaking Bad.
He actually played a villain in something else very similar to this.
I would say he was in Game Night with... Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman. He was the neighbor that was the creep. That they're afraid of. He was like the cop that was always coming over and like trying to be part of it. Ended up playing a bigger part in that whole spoiler alert. But and he was also the in Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
He was in Black Mirror.
Yep. The Star Trek episode where he was stealing DNA.
He was the weird guy.
Yes, this is what he does.
Yeah, no, but in this movie I feel like he did a very good, well, we'll get to his scene when we start talking about
this. Yeah, so the again, the trailers made me very nervous about it. I'm like, I got to go support A24. It's built a brand. It's really the only way I can get Jay and Rodney to watch something like these normally is to go, oh, it's A24. And they'll both go, oh, okay, I'll watch that. You know, like it's mm-hmm. earned that. And so that's why we saw Men, right? Everybody saw Men. I know you saw Men.
I didn't see Men.
It's weird. But anyway, this movie though, honestly, when it started, I'm like, oh, they're not really explaining what's going on. It was very smart for them to take,
thank you,
Texas and California, putting them together. You're like, okay, well, then this is not exactly what you think it is. And it's really just about journalism and the importance of war journalism. And they just put it in America. And like, because I kept watching every preview or thing, you know, when Kirsten Dunst would go on talk shows, they would have her show clips from the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why is she acting like a robot? Like, she had no emotion. But she said she studied with like war photographers and stuff and kind of talked to them. And that's just basically, she's just a husk of a person that just, this is my job. I have to capture these moments.
Well, she probably gets desensitized too, right?
So yeah, that and that's exactly it. Yeah, because then you see her in flashbacks of various things where it's just like she has to just stand there and let things happen for her own safety. Like, it's, she's in a very dangerous place all her career, and she has to be non-partial to stay alive, basically.
Yeah. And she's like, her character's from Canada, right?
Oh, is she? Oh, is her character
Canadian? That's why she had Canadian money, right?
Oh, I thought that was just the currency that was only good. That's what I took it as.
American
dollar was nothing but Canadian money.
Well,
was.
No, because I took it as that they were foreign reporters, you know, going around taking pictures, you know, to report back to, you know, she had a laptop and she was like, upload the photos to send to. I thought she had Canadian money. That's what I took it as, because remember the. In the scene where they talk about Jesse Pinkman, that was his name. Jesse Plemons. Remember the two Asian guys, right? And where they were from. So I was like, oh, so these are like foreign people, you know?
Oh, right, right.
Except for the black guy.
Well, no, because I'm still thinking she's American, because he goes, what? And he's like, are you American? What kind of American? You know? Like,
yeah.
I guess North American could qualify for that, but.
Well, I think there was like lying to survive. That's my personal take. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong, but that's how I took it.
Where they're starting in Brooklyn, and then there's a terrorist bombing, and they picked places like they're trying to go to Charlottesville. I mean, obviously, you chose Charlottesville for the evocativeness of our world, real life things going on that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to take a roundabout way to get there because certain roads are cut off.
But they're initially trying to go to DC.
Right. I think that's what it is. They're going that way to come back up to DC because it's all blocked up.
Yeah. Cause he wants to interview they want to interview the president.
Right. And he's
no one's interviewed no one's talked or seen the president since a year. It was like a year. Yeah. And they kill reporters.
Yeah, and it was Ron Swanson.
I heard bad things about him being president.
No, you can't.
It's a dislocation there, right?
No, I can't. I don't understand how people could say he was. I mean, he spoke like what? He had what? Like,
it's very minuscule.
It was so minuscule.
Did it pull you out of it looking at him as the president?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. Like he's like, it's like you have somebody who's a president, you hear him talk at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then you might hear him like some lines, and then at the end of the movie he has a line. So I don't know how someone could say he was good or bad. It was so like, if you put it all together, I don't even think it was 5 minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
I would.
People said the same thing about him that they said about Walken as in Dune 2. You kind of get pulled out of it because you know those people as...
Yeah, it starts with it. I can't see how you can't get pulled out of, you know. Okay. And he's basically saying he's in his third term. They're the United States. Everybody else is, like, fighting. The impression you kind of get is that whatever he's doing in this takeover...
Well, they said it on the radio. They said... Because this was... I've had many arguments about this movie. Pretty much he pretty much became a dictator. He forced a third term, and he unestablished the FBI.
Okay. Which is, again, that's probably about as political as it gets, where there's a couple talking points where you're like, yep, these are things we've heard somebody say specifically.
Yep. And then I think you had the Republic, California and Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're the Western forces.
Yep.
And as these reporters are going through and kind of almost, it becomes a little bit like Apocalypse Now. Like, I always looked at Apocalypse Now as a Wizard of Oz adventure in war, and this is doing a very light version of that. Our other main characters are, everybody's in love with this Wagner Moura. Yeah, I think he's going to become a pretty big star. I've never seen him in anything
before.
Which
one was he?
He was the guy that was the driver.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could see that.
And then the girl, Kaylee Spaney, she's been around for a while, and she's kind of really on this uptick.
That was the young reporter?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you already foresee what was going to happen when they introduced her and how it was going to end?
Not necessarily.
I knew exactly how that was going to end because, like, I'm like, I could see it. But, yeah.
So she's introduced to be basically the new reporter using old technology, like she's using the old camera and has to treat the film. Whereas you got this hardened reporter, you know, the photographer, Kirsten Dunst plays, you know, using digital and modern technology. Yeah. So it's this generational gap thing of just, I mean, I'm getting old enough to where I'm like, okay, there's two generations below me now that are actually functioning adults. You know, all I've got is really boomers ahead of us because greatest generation's pretty much gone. So it's kind of this weird position for me to feel like this shift. And so it's like, I think that's what that meant to be, is like, and the old and the new, and the new uses the old, and the old uses the new, and...
Yeah, and this is war reporting, so there's no story. It's just photos.
Mm-hmm.
They take photos of the most grotesque, violent things happening. So, like, the beginning of the movie, when everybody's in front of that water tanker trying to get water, and it blew up, there's so many people hurt, dismembered, and then you just see the reporters just taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
don't... Not even helping anybody.
Not helping nobody, just... Like, somebody could be lost, no leg, they just taking a photo. And that's all it is. It's like, you know, there's no message, nothing about it. And that's pretty much what the whole movie was. It was just them in messed up situations taking photos. There's no real, like, real story. It's just like, oh.
So I heard that's good and bad things about the movie. I have not seen it like you two have. So I did some watching reviews. I was really debating on watching this myself, but I didn't want to be like, I mean, honestly, I didn't want to be stressed out about
that. I don't think it'll stress you out.
But... I told you like a
certain while, people
like the first episode of Fallout had me stressed. I know it's not real. I get all this shit. Blah blah blah. I get it. But I try to watch as much happy shit as I possibly can.
That's fair.
Randall will tell me that my humor. I don't have real humor. And I don't watch real comedies. We had that conversation on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
But which, anyway,
in regard to what movies?
All TV shows.
All TV shows.
Ever that
he doesn't like Arrested Development. He doesn't like Parks and Rec. He likes Big Bang Theory, which is okay. But like he likes Scrubs and Big Bang Theory.
But he That's let it. Me know that I don't like comedy.
But he doesn't like how do you.
He
not
goes, "Oh,
like
you just don't like comedy." Then I'm like, "What do you mean? I love comedy."
Like how you don't so, like it's always sunny.
But anyway, I try to watch something that makes me feel better about myself. Uh-huh. Or the guy's what it's called. I don't go out of my way to watch horror movies, thrillers, drama shit. I just try not to. My mindset's already was like that for most of my life, and I'm just trying to move away from that. So this and Fallout. So when I start watching more and more shit, I'm like Civil War. I'm like, I don't want to watch something that might be something. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't want to do that. So I started watching reviews and everything on it. Go ahead.
Well, no, I want to talk about what you're saying because, so I have like a, you know, I have like a some friends and they wanted to hang out and get something and they said, hey.
You're like, no, Whitey, Civil War.
Stop. No.
That's
no.
What he did. He says, he told me that's what he did.
I did not. So my one friend was like, hey, do y'all mind seeing Civil War? And I was like, fine.
Yeah.
And then so Rodney, I forgot how you messaged me about something. And then he was like, yeah, I saw these reviews for Civil War. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I'm about to go see it tonight. He's like, well, let me know how good it is. All right. He's like, I saw all these good reviews and it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't heard nothing about it, you know. Right. But I also don't like
have I called to see if he wanted to go with me to see it because I didn't want to see it by
that's
myself.
That's what it was, yeah.
But he already had plans with other people. So
that's not. And now you're. Are you even for Godzilla?
So I.
And Boy yeah, and Heron, are you guys
no,
even?
No, no, we're not even for not Godzilla yet, because I already
you
planned
that up
this.
For?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I tried to create Godzilla. I tried to create a civil war here.
That's right. You owe me for Godzilla, motherfucker. Okay.
I don't know why you're talking about that. I don't know why you
want to go see Godzilla. Yeah, let me open up my plan.
Whatever.
Eight hours before.
Listen, it's going to drop physical. Hey. We're going to watch it in my backyard. Listen, so I didn't want to watch when COVID happened. Even though I bought what's this, after things settled down, I bought it, but I never watched it. What's about the movie about the breakout? It's got a yellow cover on it. No, it's not Outbreak. Not the one with the monkey. It's the other one.
Contagion.
Contagion. Mm-hmm. That's a movie that was flying through the digital downloads during COVID was happening. And it, every time download, it kept popping up like top three. I'm like, fuck, you know, I was like, let me watch it. $5, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I never got around to it for like 2 years. And then I finally watched it because I was like, I don't want to watch what could be a thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't want to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's very close to like.
Well, Planet of the Apes is the end of the world, right? Planet of the Apes is about everything. But I watch Planet of the Apes because I ain't seen no monkey come up on me talk a full sentence yet. So I'm good to go on that one, right? So maybe this is possible thing in my head. Mm. And like Fallout, all out nuclear war. Yeah, that's we're fucking 80s. That's been a scare of ours for a long time. And Fallout really plays with that. So I'm like, but. Anyway, I started watching reviews of everything. I was like, oh, really good, really good, really good. And then some people say, oh, I hated it, or I didn't like it. Or you had somebody that was leaning left or leaning right. Somebody that's leaning right will go, I didn't like it because of that reason, right? Mm-hmm. Or somebody leaning left go, well, I didn't like it because of this reason, right? And I was like, and you could go to find out. Well, that's the whole point of the director. Wherever side you're leaning on, you're going to find something that kind of caters maybe towards whatever your thought process might be. But that's on you. That's not on him. That's not how he meant it to be. He put something and wrote something in there. And if you read it that way, because you lean that way. If you see it that way, it's because you lean that way. He already came out. There's no direction to anything in this movie.
Right, yeah,
if you see certain things and certain things, it's because you want to see it there. His words. So you know who you're watching with what way they lean in it. Because you're like, oh, like you said earlier, oh, do this to this person. I'm sure we had presidents before that. That probably we were always worried about a third. Those laws wouldn't be in there if you weren't worried about a third term.
Well, they,
right?
Yeah. I mean, FDR is the only one that ever had three terms, right. And it was the opposition party that went, nope, we got to put limits, no right. more.
So, but how you said, with certain presidents, but I'm sure there's been other people that, I'm sure Nixon probably came out and didn't like certain parts of the FBI or whatever, too. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you'll find little parts in the movie that you'll lean towards one way or another that you'll say that you
but
think
you really
that you think the movie's in your camp. But the movie's in no camps, and the whole point of the whole movie was not to be any camps. And that upset a lot of people, too, though, because there's a lot of people that are in this certain atmosphere that we're in that wanted to go see a movie that took their side.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what.
Exactly.
And they didn't get that. And they're like, this movie fucking sucks. Not you didn't go there doing that, but I'm just saying. You didn't want the angle of the reporter. That was your issue, correct?
No, I'll tell you. I'll say it.
Okay,
I'll
all right.
Later.
So that's – so I said, oh, so the more I heard about that, I was like, oh, maybe I do want to kind of – I like that. I don't – you – somebody that's how intelligent or high you have to be, because it would have been really easy to take today's atmosphere or whatever you want to call it and play on that and then have people come out to things, Trump this or Biden that and your country this, your country. He could have easily played with that and he didn't, which to me is great on his behalf. I think it's a really good
thing. Really the importance of journalism and like the core tenets of.
Sorry, long story long. Sorry.
You know, the core tenets of what. We need, and there's moments where it becomes very Thin Red Line, which is an older movie where it's like about Vietnam, where, you know, it's just very cinematic. There's like scenes where Kirsten Dunst and Kaylee Spiney are sitting like on the waterside, like, and just like beautiful, like amidst all the war, there's still these moments of just peace and calm. I mean, they're
like
chasing.
when they're far away from the actual shooting, and it kind of like fireworks are going up, but it's not fireworks.
Yeah, and they're waiting the next morning, like, okay, we'll go there tomorrow morning. We'll
tomorrow
get the
morning.
Pictures, and they just show up on the scene. They're protected by whoever they're with. Like the one where they go to the mini golf course, and they're getting shot at. They go, this doesn't feel comfortable, and then they're getting shot at. Then they're going like laying down, and they find two soldiers, and they're like. Who's, you know, are you WF or are you this? Are you this? And they go, somebody in there is trying to kill us. We're just trying to kill them before they kill us.
And that's how it is.
Yep.
And that's like, to me, when I watched this movie, And because, like, pretty much the movie, it's like, it's pretty much, I don't want to say like episodic, but it's like eventful. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say eventful, like, there's like one event to another event to another event to another event. There's no like, there's no story.
Well, like the gas station, you could tell that. You want to tell that one?
The gas the gas station scene, because I remember the money. Yep. So there's a gas station. There's like, oh, we could stop here and get some gas, right? And so there's like three or four guys sitting out there with guns, regular people, and they're like, hey, where you're from, what you're doing, you know, because they're just making sure, and they said, we don't want no trouble, we just want to see if we get some gas, right? And how much was it for gas?
Like 300 Canadian.
It was like,
which is $1.25
American. She offered money.
Which is $1.25 American?
Because American money was worth nothing.
They had like American money, and they pretty much said like $300 American would like get you a sandwich.
Okay, all right.
And then she's like, it's Canadian.
She's like, it's Canadian. They were like, oh, like they rolled out the carpet for her for Canadian.
Oh, okay.
But they also strung up some people in like a back off like thing.
Car wash thing or something.
Yeah. Like there was like in this like, what is the.
Do you know why those people are they dead?
You know, I'll tell you. No, they weren't dead. They were hanging like barely alive, like kind of like tortured.
Yeah.
But they were thieves. That's what he said.
Okay.
But you don't know if they took it from them.
Or they justified doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the movie is that.
Because like, thieves could have been hungry people, right? It could have been, right?
You don't know. But they say, yeah, the guy was like, had a gun. And he was like, yeah, they tried to steal from us and everything. But I thought he was going to try to do something to the little girl.
That's what I think it is. The whole scene of that is the young girl's thinking like a photographer going off. And then the guy starts following her. That's creepy. You know, it's very much movie starts with these gas station folk, you know, like, yep. So it's like, and then Kirsten Dunst just puts on her hat and like goes over basically is like, oh, you know, what's going on here? Da, 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 da. And
she was like, take the picture.
Yeah. You find out, like, make him proud of it and stand below it and take a picture just to get them out of that situation.
Right. In front of hanging people, yeah. Like, and then think about it, you
dying, thought, hanging, dying.
People. Yeah, hanging, dying people. And in your mind, you're thinking like, "Oh, she's gonna try to figure a way to help them." Nope, they just drive off.
So, is it just America that's going through this, or is it like Canada
just America?
Going
through it? Uh-huh. Just
no,
America.
No Mexico, no other countries. No,
just
other countries are just living normal lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're sending reporters to report what's happening in America. How we send our reporters to like Afghanistan, yeah, things like that.
Okay, all right, that's good. Okay, all
right. Yeah.
Okay,
but that's like the movie though. But I will say this movie had some of the best action scenes.
Yeah,
I will give it
and
that.
The sound too. Like, did you see it in a good theater with the good sound?
Yeah,
I saw it in IMAX. Like they said, see this in IMAX. I mean, it was loud when it wanted to be loud. It put you like in the thick. Like it was good sound design.
He said to me, "Oh, go ahead, sorry."
But there was, I would say, like there's a lot of scenes where like nothing happened.
Okay,
and it was. Like, you're sitting there, and this is how I took it. It was like, I understand looking back at the movie. I understand the movie, but was it, like, enjoyable to watch for me? No.
Okay.
Like, I was sitting
there. So I did hear that. It's something you're watching, but I don't know if joy was
absorbing. You're absorbing it.
Yeah.
I've never seen.
You said people got up and left, didn't you not?
Huh?
You told me people got up and left, correct?
A lot of people got up and left.
All right.
Like, a lot. Like, I've never seen that many.
Five different groups, I think you said.
Yeah, it was like five different groups of people just walked out because.
Was it different scenes they got up and walked in?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. What do you think they got up and walked out for?
Boring.
Okay.
Boring, nothing happened. They didn't understand what's going on. Okay. That's what I
you think there maybe people that had preconceived notions that thought they were going to see modern day America's ideologies and they didn't get that?
I feel
or just
like
more war.
More war. Okay. I pretty much feel like, because I never saw the trailer before seeing this movie.
Okay.
And so everyone was like, one person was like, what did I just watch? Like, this is not what the trailer kind of like sold me.
It's like when I walk by a mirror.
Yeah, because the trailer shows like the helicopters flying by. You see the people, you know, the Jesse Plemons scenes hinted at. Like, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, this is going to be a legit. I was afraid that it was going to be that. And I was immediately very happy, but I'm like, oh, that's not what this is going to be. So I went in with the apprehension like you kind of had, Rodney, where I was like, okay, here I go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, it's not that. So I was like relieved.
Okay.
But it was still stressful in different ways because of what it was trying to show, you know.
He came out and said the biggest point, I guess, to the movie.
It's still an A24 movie, just with a bigger budget.
I think the thing he said, because I tried to watch as much as this without watching the movie. So I watched the director during this long interview that he did. He wanted to show, like, if we get too far into what we're doing, we'll stop having human to human. Like I guess there's a scene that looks, you said it looks like Call of Duty, but I think they showed a clip of it. He talked about it. or they're just walking over dead bodies like they're nothing. Mm-hmm. Like they're just nothing. They're just random possum dead on the ground.
Yeah.
He said, if we don't stop doing what we're doing, that's how we're going to start looking at dead people. We're not going to have love for each other. We're not going to have this, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A dead body would mean nothing to us.
So let's actually go talk about, that scene, because that's what... That scene with Jesse
Plemons.
Thank you. I'm not going to remember.
You want to say Pinkman? They're both JP, just for the record.
I just don't want to mess up his name. Yeah. Pretty much, it was a drive scene, and like it was like a crazy, like, you know, hey, we're friends, we're chasing each other. They thought someone was chasing them down, but it was like another camera crew. Uh-huh. And they jump cars, like some kind of wild, crazy car thing, and then
Gonzo
reporters, okay, you know.
Okay. Yeah, and then they just fly off, right? And then, like, I don't know how the car got so far ahead of them. And they're like, oh, where'd they go? And then they find the car on the side of the road, and then you run into that character, and he's like holding them at gunpoint. Uh-huh. Like, you know, and he's kind of like crazy. He's kind of like a
plays a psychopath.
Well, we didn't mention that Thurfer Hawaii from Dune is also with the group. So the group of four are main characters. He's an older, you know, larger gentleman, and they keep joking, like, you're too old, you can't keep up, you can't run. They're like, we're going to leave you behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's with them. Yeah, and the other car is, like, two, like, Asian guys that, you know, one of them jumps into their cars are driving, and so the young girl's like, oh, that's cool, and she does it and goes with him. Then they take off. So now, again, Kirsten Dunst, who doesn't, you know, seem to care about anything, who has seemingly cared about her the whole movie, is like worried, like, we got to catch up. Like, where's he taking her? What's going on? So, yeah, now they've arrived at this farm. The car's abandoned. They drive back further, and then they see Plemons,
and he has fatigues on.
Sunglasses, yeah.
He has fatigues on with his pink sunglasses holding a rifle. And what they're doing is he's over this giant ditch. And it, what it seems like is that him and his team, or whoever they are, because you don't know, with his character, you don't know who they are. You don't know if they're part of the military, right, or they're part of
the Texas-California thing.
Yeah, WF, or
is that what it's called, Texas-California?
Yeah, WF is the Texas-California. Okay.
But what you find out that they're hiding a lot of dead bodies. Like, there's a
trench. His group killed?
We assume so. There's a trench of dead bodies. Like,
okay. And they have a truck that's dumping dead bodies.
Maybe they're good Samaritans. Maybe go around clean dead bodies up.
Don't they shoot them?
They shoot the two Asian guys.
Okay. Yeah,
No. Don't they shoot the dead bodies too? Like, weren't he doing something to the dead bodies before?
Maybe.
It was something weird. Like, they were shooting them or being wild with them.
Okay.
But he asked a question. He's like, where are you guys from? And then, like, the guy was scared. Didn't he say China? As soon as he said China, he killed him.
Okay. Or Hong Kong.
He killed him. Okay. And then
say same idea.
But. Yeah, so then he was trying to ask the other people, like, well, what part of America are you from? You know, like, what part of America?
I saw that the trailer where he's this, that's so scary.
He
about
just
him
does a little, like,
it's this calming, psychopathic.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He could
because he shot with no remorse. It was just like,
you shouldn't have to look at somebody and not know if they're going to high five you or shoot you in the head. And that's what he talks, and he's too calm in bad situations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's too calm. That's what's scary about him. Like, his character, he's fucking amazing.
I feel he had more screen time than Nick Offerman. Right,
but they know, dude. They knew you don't cast him that role.
Well, he wasn't cast.
Oh,
it was they were down there filming. I think they filmed it in Georgia.
And
he was there with Kirsten Dunst because he's watching the kids, and whoever the actor was dropped out of that because they just didn't like the vibe of
it. How do you not cast him in that spot?
Well, that's when she's
who'd
like,
you pick over
they go,
that?
Who are we going to get so last minute? And she's like, well, actually,
I got a guy to play.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. I got a guy to play perfect psychopath right over here.
It was like a last minute thing. Like, Jesse can come down here and do this. And he just did the one day shoot, so to speak.
Because I saw that in the trailer. He's a big reason I think why people want to go see that movie because the way he grabs that scene right there. So
we didn't talk about a lot of scenes, but there's not that many scenes. Like, it's literally like
lots of traveling, lots of nothing happening.
Yeah, it's a lot of traveling. Okay. Like the most memorable scenes to me, which is the whole movies, is just like, you know, like the beginning is the bomb. Mm-hmm. Then they like go to the hotel planet where they're going. And then that's where you meet the young girl. Well, you meet her at the little bombing. But then they travel, and then they stop.
Well, you've got those, like, when they're sleeping in the mall parking lot, and then they go to that shooting scene. Then the next one is the golf cart. No. Or is that later?
That's the golf cart. I think is later.
After the Jesse Plemons.
No. That's the we're forgetting the city. the city that's kind of normal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they
what I say. Have you ever seen Apocalypse Now, either of you?
No.
Like, it's a war. It's a war movie. It's a Vietnam movie, but it's very vignette-y. It's like.
Yeah.
And I think I want to say Martin Sheen is a reporter in that. I'm not. He's doing something where he's traveling around and seeing all this stuff. So it's the DNA of that film, which is a lot bigger. It's, you know, magnum opus, you know, Francis Ford Coppola film. But like this the DNA of that is definitely in this movie. Yeah. And then, yeah, so
because they go into a store and they're confused. They're like, and there's just a lady just like working, like how we look at it as normal. But they're like, what? There's like a store and they could try on and buy clothes and.
Oh, I did see a trailer for that. One lady was, that's the rest of the world. That's not us, right? The lady leans on the counter to act like there's nothing wrong with the rest of America.
Yeah, but when they go outside and there's the black guy, the older black guy, I forgot his name.
I call him Thurber.
Yeah, he talks to Kristen Dunst and he says, he's like, you know, just be careful. Don't look up, but just look behind me. And if you look up behind, there's like, you know, people with rifles on top of the, you know, top of the building.
Oh, so that's how they get their normalization.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're watching. So see, they're watching you, like people who come in, what you're going
to
do.
If you don't act normal, then you're fucking get one to the head or something.
Because they show the actual, like, people fight the army. You know, like they show like
did they say what's caused all this or they don't, right?
That's okay.
Just Nick Offerman stuff.
Nick, the president.
Was there bombs? You said bomb at the beginning? What do you mean bomb?
No, like just terror, like bomb jacket type.
Oh,
thing.
Not like nuclear bomb knocking out.
No. It never goes that far.
Does that all of it take place between California and Texas?
It's all in the East Coast.
The Texas and California people get over?
They're the ones coming over and basically fixing. They're the Western forces.
It makes sense to do
over.
The two largest states combined.
And the very.
But you don't
consider red, states, very consider blue.
But if there's any two states that combine, they can fucking
but
fuck with
at
you
the same time.
It's those two
but
states.
At the same time, you're watching. But we did see like militias too. Like there's a militia fighting. The army, like you see like a militia fighting the army, and then you also hear on the news reporter like general surrendering, like you hear like oh this general surrendered.
It's very vague. It's very vague for a purpose. It is.
It's very vague. If you're thinking about something that happened in a previous scene and you're not paying attention, we'll just read. You're gonna be like, what's going on?
It's
like,
the reporter's story.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a simple.
And that was my problem with the movie because I was like. Why am I sitting here watching this when I just could have watched this on YouTube for like 24 minutes versus like an hour and a half? That was my problem.
I have a question for you. Like when Thurfer who hate when he after he so when Jesse Plemons is about to kill maybe the Wagner the other reporter because he's like Hispanic.
Okay,
and he
he was Hispanic. Yep.
Yeah, he's like getting ready to shoot him, and then all of a sudden the van like their press van comes up, hits Plemons into the ditch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the girl falls and she's crawling around the dead bodies.
He was knocked
into
the own ditch that he made?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Okay.
And then he kind of drives away with them. Uh-huh. And then there's a scene where he's like, they're driving real fast, getting away. And he goes, I can't drive. And everybody kind of laughed, you know, like you just did.
Yeah.
Did everybody laugh in your theater for a second? Ooh. Like, I don't know if we needed like this weird relief, but he goes, I can't drive. But then it very quickly cuts and you see he's been shot.
Because he does have this like this comedic... what's the word I want to use? Like dark sarcasm. Humor.
Okay.
Through the whole thing.
So he's like, I can't drive. That's how he says it. And then, you know, I don't remember people laughed at that, but I thought he was trying to be like, kind of like funny. Like I can't drive cause he doesn't drive.
Right.
And then you sound out that he was shot.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was kind of tough, but it was a weird release. I felt my audience had this weird release of like, okay, that was stressful. And then it was like right back in like, oh shit, he's shot. So
and then he, you know, like he's in the back bleeding and they're holding this. And they finally get to like where the United Forces are. Like they're about to do this like big operation.
A siege of D.C.
D.C., yeah, basically. Okay. And then they're like flying off and then they get there and he died.
Did they siege D.C.?
Well, they
the president, that's it. Right?
Yeah, the siege happens and the reporters are with, which is insane when you start realizing, oh my God, there are soldiers that's job are to take the press and protect the press.
Okay.
Like they're running around like just doing crazy shit, but like they're shooting the bad guys and like, you know.
Who you perceive as the bad guys, I guess, right?
The president is the bad guy.
The president is the bad guy.
Like they make that clear, but like the other than the third term dissolving FBI and killing reporters. Yeah. Like, everything else is kind of like, and like, you can argue against any of those really to go, you know?
Right. Cause he does have like these, like, these, like, monologues. But nothing sounds crazy. He's just like, oh, we'll be a nation again. And at one point in time, I said, is he still alive? Like, that's how I thought.
Yeah, because he hasn't been seen
for a while. He hasn't been seen.
And that's what the main reporter wants to get. Like, he's the interviewer. He wants to get his, you know, get an interview with him and get the final words type of thing, basically.
And I will say, most of the fight scenes, but the last siege scene was phenomenal. I will bite my tongue and say that was one of the best war sieges I've seen.
Do you think it's different because it was the White House they're going?
You know, did you see how they protected White House though? It was wild. I mean, like, just the whole thought process of how we would protect the White House versus people coming in.
Yeah, and Secret Service versus the military. So they're sending out a decoy vehicle. They blow up that. They're like, he's not in here.
There are people on top of other buildings. Okay. Like they had to get to the center of the White House. They had to like pretty much take out the city like inch by inch. Like they had to take like the top of the city, everything. Like you could hear it all.
That's where the sound design comes in. And that's the scenes you see in the preview of the helicopter flying over, you know, over the monuments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
it was because they just couldn't just like drive up to the White House. It was like the White House had like somehow barricaded itself in.
Okay.
It was. But you watch them. You watch people try to leave the White House. So like they blow up the main way into the White House like this. Pretty much it's not like just a lawn anymore. It's like it's pretty much like a fortress. Like there's like city, like these big
steel barricade type.
Yeah, like these like concrete.
What do you think would happen if the White House really got attacked?
It would be like that.
Well, like the top comes off like a flying saucer, and the president takes off.
Well, no, I'm sure it's all underground.
Hey, he'll go that way. Okay.
So which was crazy is that then
I'm just asking. I'm not trying to get us fucking caught by the FBI.
No. But it was like. Once they you see people get shot, then one cool thing is that the young girl reporter was just out there in the open taking pictures, and the guy had to grab her and like pull her down and stuff. And then Kristen Dunst, she started getting freaked out because of like they were in like the war, so people were just dying in front of them.
So she did show emotion in the movie.
Because she started getting freaked out because it was like people were getting blown up, shot in front of them. Like one guy, like the Secret Service, when they surrendered, they just got murdered.
Okay. All
right. Like literally, they got murdered. There was a car that came out. Everybody thought the president. No, they did. there was a scene with a black car came in. Everybody thought the president was in it. They shot it. They rammed it. They thought it was going to get away. The lady said, she's like, something about
diplomatic immunity.
No, it was something.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah.
I don't remember. She said something and they just. They took her out. They took everybody out. And then when they got into the White House, they went floor by floor, taking out Secret Service agents. And the one girl, just not paying attention, was taking photos. And they're shooting down the hallway. Like I don't understand why you're going to stand in the middle of the hallway where they're shooting down the hallway. Nobody.
Yeah, so spoilers are coming now. Oh. If you've made it this far.
I didn't know
we could say that. No.
We've been talking about spoilers the whole time.
I know, but the ending, we're getting to the couple. There's two things towards the ending. Yeah. So.
Well, it's been 40 minutes. You might want to get to
the ending. We weirdly not said these couple things. So
my bad. I didn't know.
It's all good. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I just feel like you have to say it. It doesn't matter. Spoilers. You're good.
Yeah, okay.
You're good.
So near the end of the hallway, so like Kristen Dunst is still messed up, but the other guy, he's like, we're getting close to president because he just wants to interview the president, right? And so she's the one little girl who's with them, she's standing in the middle of the hallway and there's secret agents shooting out, and then so someone's shooting down the hallway and Kristen Dunst, like, she's like snaps into action and she pushes the girl down and then she gets shot.
Okay. Kristen Dunst,
so it's the first time she's. Not that she hasn't saved her before, but she used camera, like, she used the job to save her. Mm. This time was her actually
saving her.
Okay.
And then so she falls down because she got shot, and then she, like bleeds out and die, and the girl just standing over her and then takes a picture of her.
She shoots her then.
Yeah,
she shoots her. There's a lot of shooting.
That's a big disconnect, isn't it?
Shooting meaning, it's like the shooting.
But I saw that happen. Like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that
What do you feel about the little girl taking a picture like she's just some kind of news story?
It's what
But that's the job. The mentality. And that's what they groomed her to be. Through the whole movie.
That sounds sad.
It was, but I knew that's what it was going to be. Yeah. They groomed her to be, take the pictures. And then she took a picture, Kristen Dunst, And they leave her.
They
carry on. Even the guy who's with her the whole time, who her partner, just goes on. And then they get into the final room and they Woo, they dragged it. That was not, I ain't gonna lie, that was something. The way they dragged Nick Offerman out,
and that's why I thought he was good, because he was scared. Like,
he was scared. He was just a scared guy. You know,
Why didn't he dip under the underground and take out? Did he already?
I mean, they was gonna. It's just one way.
I watched National Treasure 2. I know there's like some underground tunnels they can go through.
Yeah, but it's just they drag him, and then he's like, you know, and then
Nick Cage.
There's about the one girl, like, and the people were like getting excited, like, oh, we're gonna be the team to kill him. Like, they, you know, like,
do you remember the line?
Which line?
What Offerman says?
Please don't kill me.
Yeah, it's, don't let them kill me.
Oh, don't let them kill me.
And then the reporter goes, says,
please don't kill me.
Wait. And the reporter goes, and so, because the reporter's like, do you got any, like, you know, do you want to say anything? And he's like crying. He's like, please don't kill me. And then he's like, that's good enough. And then just, that's all he said. Like, that's good enough. And the black girl coming. Uh-huh. Wow.
So he did it just, he said, please don't kill me, just to be part of the story. He was normal after he said that?
No, that's it.
They murdered him. They killed him.
The military was a pretty mixed group of people, I felt,
too. It was
too.
Very, yeah.
It was interesting. And then like, that's the ending, is the shot of them over all the soldiers around his dead body.
Did it feel like an A24 film?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay.
A bigger budget A24 film.
Yeah. Okay. Another A24 film we watched recently, too, was Iron Claw.
So, also, another A24 movie we watched was, what was that, the weird Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, Dream Scenario.
Dream Scenario.
Yeah. Oh, so good. That movie.
I'm just letting y'all know that A24 right now don't sit well with me. I'm going to put that out there.
Don't see Green Knight.
All right.
Don't see Men.
I want to see Green Knight, but then...
No, Green Knight's not bad.
No, I don't
Men's,
know.
Men's a rough watch.
Men's rough.
Especially the end.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, I ultimately liked it.
Okay.
It didn't give me what I thought I wanted, but again, absorbing it in time even more, I'm like... Okay, I would watch it again. I didn't think I would want to watch it again, but I probably would watch it again.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just boring, right? Is that?
I know it sounds excited when I talk about the action scenes, but like for like as a whole movie, yeah. I would not sit through an hour and a half of this.
Where's Jay? It's 1 o'clock.
Well, he's texted just now, so we'll see.
Okay.
All right. So, all right, though. But I mean, when you're ready to watch it, Rodney, I will watch it with you. When it comes on streaming, if you want, when you're ready to watch it, you let me know, and come over and I'll watch it with you.
Yeah, because remember, I wanted to see your. Because remember, when I was saying like,
oh, getting so all you these might watch it again too.
No,
oh,
no, yeah. Never, never. I'm just letting you know.
Okay,
I just want to know his take on it because all you know, like, I want to talk to you about it too.
Yeah,
because when I watched the movie, because I remember it was three of us.
Yeah, what did your friends think of it?
So. So one friend, we looked at each other and he said, what just happened? Literally, that was exactly where he's like, what just happened? Like, what did we just watch? Mm. And then one friend was like, his mind was all on, this is, instead of looking at it as like, oh, was this a enjoyable movie? He's like, this is what America could be. And then we had a whole different argument because then he said his movie was better than Dune 2. And so I lost it. I blacked out and I
woke up and he was on the ground.
Yeah, I was super upset at him. Like, what?
Two totally different kinds of movies.
Yeah, I don't know if you compare that to. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think you just say something like that just to be controversial in that moment.
Yeah. Right. But then he said, but his take was that this is what America could be. And then I try to get him to explain to me what happened in the movie.
How could Dune be what America could be?
No. Well, the Civil War.
It's tough a lot of times now watching, even like the snipers up above with the stuff going on in the school. Like, there's so much real life stuff that sucks.
Yeah, that's.
That it is hard. It is. Even Dune had like moments where I'm like, oh, boy. Like, when they go in there, like, bombing the caves of the people, I'm like, it's too.
Well, now you're concerned. Now you're concerned, Uncle. Remember?
Right. Yeah, I'm worried about everybody getting hurt.
Sean's new title, concerned.
Yeah, because this movie does have a lot. Like, I mean, and then one scene we didn't talk about, what we kind of did, was when they was outside in that golf? You said like
I think it's a golf course,
miniature golf course, and then that person was sniping from the house, like they were sniping, and then you're just watching like you see like a couple of dead bodies. And because he killed a couple of people, and you know, there's like people just trying to survive.
The soldiers had like one of them had like dyed colored hair. It was like interesting. And he's just one's a spotter, one's a guy. He's like, we're trying to find him. He's like, which side are you? Goes.
And then they're waiting for a minute. Then he's like, pow, and he'd be like, got him.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it. It's not for everybody. I understand that. Is it a great film? I don't know, but I liked it. You know, so. And then, we'll see what you say. Yeah. We'll get to it. So, all right, back to work.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.